No, yeah, like whatever. I think it was just the more compelling thing was the thing you said about Bud Light.
What?
Wait, did you not see that?
No.
No, he said he'd play for like league minimum and like a lifetime supply of Bud Light. What? You didn't see that?
Damn, I wish he had said Miller Lite.
I feel like you're lying.
Cougar Rask Bud Light. I'm Googling it to make sure, but I heard it. Yeah, could Rask cost the Bruins only $250,000 and endless Bud Light supply? The Brews and Burns podcast is sponsored by DraftKings. The NFL is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving all new players a can't-miss offer for Week 1. Bet just $1 on any NFL game during the first week of the season and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. Take advantage of this limited offer now. You heard right, DraftKings is giving all new players $200 in free bets instantly when you place a bet of $1 or more on any Week 1 game. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now to check out all the great promotions and daily odd boosts. Plus, you can make every game a big game with same-game parlays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any Week 1 game. That's promo code THPN to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Chris, take it away.
All right, everybody. Welcome to episode 76 of season 2 of the Brews and Bruins podcast, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast presented by Bruins Diehards, a podcast that Drew's dad once said was a tough listen, featuring just me and Drew today. And we have my favorite guest, Kat Silverman. How you doing, Kat?
I'm doing good. I thought you were going to leave me out entirely. Just me and Drew. I was like, I'm right here.
We just wanted you here for the call. We wanted a live viewer.
That was a little head fake. She's taking pictures now.
Absolutely.
That's why Drew, I posed. I was just smiling. I was like.
You smiled. Chris did not.
I opened a beer. Drew, what are you drinking?
Let's see. I got some water here in a Bruins bottle.
Very festive.
I have an empty ginger ale and a half full ginger ale.
So it's really
the remnants of a kind bar. I got really drunk at the Red Sox game last night and can't really drink right now. So
I'm going to cut the line here a little bit because that's a good transition into the beer that I have, which I think if you combined all of the things that you just said would taste pretty much like what this beer is. I have a Michelob Ultra. Honestly, I've been drinking these. So my parents don't drink anymore. So it's just like the remnants of what they have left. And there's a case of Michelob Ultra. So I've kind of been drinking them slowly over the course of the last couple of weeks. And honestly, if you blind taste tested me with this, with like some different kinds of seltzer waters, I honestly don't know if I could tell you that this was a beer 100%, not being hyperbolic there. So we're going to give this a try. Yeah, it's mostly just like a beer aftertaste. There's no real flavor of beer in there. So drinkability, it's going to be a 37 because you can drink it. Definitely drink it. Tasteability, I'm going to go with a lowly 1 because just the hint of taste pulls it up from a 0.
Jesus. What an endorsement for Michelob Ultra.
Hey, we're a Miller Lite podcast, Miller Lite so podcast. I shouldn't be touting Michelob.
I don't know if Miller Lite knows where Miller Lite podcast.
Their social media. Kat, do you have anything?
I do. I didn't realize that one of us would be teetotaling tonight, so I was like, oh, I have to actually drink. So I bought this can or this giant case of a Malibu Splash. It's the closest thing I can equate to being an underage high school drinker of the like actual alcoholic of alcoholic beverages right now. This is a pineapple and coconut one. It kind of tastes like if somebody tried to make a White Claw, but a pina colada, which isn't too bad.
Pina White Clawda.
Pina White Claw. Yeah, that's the whitest thing I think I've ever said.
That's the name of the episode.
Pina White Clawda.
I bought these for the all-time low concert that I went to. I think it was like 3 weeks ago, maybe two at this point. Time's a blur. It was a Sunday night. My daughter had school the next morning. So I naturally sent her to her grandparents, told them that she was their problem, and drank a ton of these before going to the concert. I felt really old listening to a band that I last saw in 2007. These actually taste pretty good, in like a really shameful kind of way. I would say drinkability is probably like a 35. There's a little strength to it. I think it's a little too sweet to have too many. Taste is like a solid 24.
Okay.
I mean, it tastes pretty good. It tastes like a case that I bought for $7, but a good case that I bought for $7. So
solid $7 spent.
Solid $7 spent, exactly.
All right. Well, off the top, we have some really important news from Bruins land. It's that Tuukka Rask wants to play for the Bruins. he came out and reiterated. I think there was an interview. I didn't read the article that Logan wrote, but we like Logan Mullen here. Actually friend of a friend, by the way. I don't know if I've mentioned this to you, Kat, but like one of Nate's friends in the music production world like knows Logan, and I was just like hanging out with Nate one time.
What a small world.
And he's just like, hey, do you know like this guy Logan Mullen who works for Nessun at all? And I was like, I mean, I don't know him, but like for sure know who he is. But yeah, the Tuukka said that he doesn't care about money and his home. Boston basically just quoted the Standells and said, Boston is my home. Big dirty water guy. Any takeaways from that?
Really good to hear, because I thought he was going to Toronto, back to his old stomping
back
grounds.
To Toronto.
The team that drafted him. No, yeah, like whatever. I think it was just the more compelling thing was the thing he said about Bud Light.
What?
Wait, did you not see that?
No.
No, he said he'd play for like league minimum and like a lifetime supply of Bud Light. Oh, you didn't see that?
Damn, I wish he had said Miller Light.
I feel like you're lying.
Tuukka Rask, Bud Light. I'm Googling it to make sure, but I heard it. Yeah, could Rask cost the Bruins only $250,000 and endless Bud Light supply?
I feel like that's an onion.
That's from Jimmy
article.
Murphy right there.
That's there,
Boston Globe. No, he had said it. I know he had said it.
I trust you. I trust you on this completely.
Yeah. It was someone asked him the question. He's like, yeah, exactly, and free Bud Lights. And like, you know, asking if he'd do the league minimum.
Does Adrian Dater work for the Bruins now? Hey, you ever just say like, hey, just like, fuck it. Just drink some beers, you know?
I think he saw how successful Kucherov was with that interview. And maybe he's like, you know, if I drink Bud Light, we can go all the way.
We might win.
Yeah. Bud Light, the key to Stanley Cup. Who'd have thought?
I feel like at this point, I feel pretty good. I feel like at this point, Tuca's just kind of trolling all the people who like to complain about him, which is like half of the Boston fan base, unfortunately. Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, what else can he possibly say to win people over at this point? He's in like, he's at the point where he feasibly could retire. There's a chance that he will retire. I don't think he will. I think they'll probably bring him back midway through the season, but he could, and there would be nothing wrong with that. And people are still complaining about him. And I think at this point, he's just kind of messing with them because he's got like a very low key good sense of humor. He's extremely funny. And
turns out most people from Boston don't, though.
they don't get very dry humor. He's very funny and they think he's not. And I don't know. I feel like it's tired at this point, but if he wants to keep giving interviews talking about how much he loves Boston and then have like Bobby Lots of Numbers go on Twitter and complain that he's not giving his all because he's recovering from an injury at a normal timeline instead of jumping back into it with like his side stitched shut. I mean, they can complain. It's whatever.
Taco Rask should be spending less time focusing on making jokes and spend more time stopping pucks.
I did go back through my Twitter last night, by the way, looking through old interactions on Twitter dating back to last July, and found an interaction between, I think it was like me, you, Chris, and then like, it might have been Matt Porter or someone.
Bobby Lots of Numbers.
And yeah, no, we were making fun of the Bobby Lots of Numbers. And I think exactly what you just said is what you typed out. So I think you spelled it as Taco Rask too.
Just recycling old material. Yeah. Thanks for calling me out.
It's a long off season. We've had to go back a full year.
We're digging deep here.
Bruins fans have been recycling old material for a decade. So yeah.
On that note.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about this. I mean, I don't think Tuca's going to sign for the league minimum if like Pittsburgh is floundering and kind of on the edge of a wild card spot, but their goaltending is like the worst thing about them. And I think they would probably have something to say about that. I think if they offered Tuca a bunch of money, I don't think he would balk at leaving, especially if the return isn't so certain. I think it's a smart posturing move on Tuca's part because he knows he's kind of forcing the hands of Cam Neely and Don Sweeney to, you know, if they don't re-sign him mid-season, then they look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're, you know, they just let Chara walk last offseason. So those kinds of things are PR exercises, and I'm sure he's smart enough to know that. But yeah, I mean, if things are not going well in goalie land, yeah, you give Tuca a shot because he's great. Who knows if the injury recovery is going to be, you know, bring him back to 100% of what he was before. But if things are bad in goal, which they absolutely could be, then yeah, why not give him a shot?
I feel like the goalie market this year was just kind of bananas, and there wasn't a whole lot to pick from, and so naturally every team picked from somewhere. Instead of sticking with what they had, they all kind of recycled the same 10 or 15 guys, and nobody stayed with the one that they already, like, nobody stayed with the mediocre goalie they knew. They all went with the mediocre goalie they didn't, which, surprise, surprise, I think means that a lot of teams are going to find themselves kind of scrambling later this year because a whole slew of top-tier goalies has kind of retired at this point, with all due respect to Henrik Lundqvist. but no, I think there will be plenty of opportunity for him elsewhere if he wants to go somewhere else. I don't think any of those opportunities are going to be fun, though. Like, I think there are going to be a lot of teams that are sitting right on the bubble for a reason. that are desperately going to need someone who's not like a Matt Murray type, although he's not going to be right on the bubble. He's going to be at the bottom. I think like the Flyers signed Martin Jones. That's not anything I'd be confident about. That's they have Carter Hart trying to bounce back.
9 out of 10 doctors recommend not signing
Martin Jones as the veteran leader for Carter Hart. So that's a thing that happened. You know, there's signings like that, Antti Raanta and Frederik Andersen, two very injury prone guys, are the only two goalies of note in Carolina right now because they got rid of their good prospects. They sent him to Detroit. So I think Carolina is going to be a bubble team that badly needs a goalie. Philadelphia could be a bubble team. They never seem to know what they're doing. They probably are going to need a goalie. They go through like 9 a year. Pittsburgh, like you said, that's a team that has no confident goaltending, no consistency in goal to speak of. A couple of the Central Division teams, I think Dallas has like 10 guys signed and none of them are a sure bet for next year. So they could need someone.
I think this is the Ottinger year. Sorry.
I forgive you. No, if I'm Tuca, I don't sign with any of those teams. That's not going to be a fun ride. That's going to be an early first round exit. And if he wants to go spend a couple months making an extra, you know, a couple hundred thousand to play backup to someone else on a team that's going to be a first round exit, he might. But he said it's not about the money at this point. So yeah. I don't know. I think
I'd also say like Andrei Vasilevskiy gets hurt. Like something like that's situation.
That's a team that kind of needs it. Who do they have as their backup this year? I should know that.
No idea.
They rotate through. I think last it was Curtis McElhinney. That's not anybody I'd really that's
literally
be
not anybody.
My hat on. That's you be nice to Curtis McElhinney. That's a really sweet boy. No, I think there are a couple good teams that maybe could use him. But I don't know. I think if anything, Boston could use a third guy because they had two good young goaltenders and then they added Linus Ullmark and got rid of one of their good young goaltenders. So I really don't think they would be hurting if they added him into the mix.
Yeah, I think it's Boston or bust for him. I don't think he really goes anywhere else. Actually, I found a quote that Evan Marnovsky tweeted out and he said he got it from the Greg Hill show. But the quote was from Rask on winning with the Bruins core. We've played our entire careers together and I feel like it would be a shame to go somewhere and try to chase something dollar wise or trophy wise when you have a chance to finish your career with the same group you started with. So it even seems like, you know, it's not just money, but it's even like the cup. He's just like
the same group he started my with friends. Is now Bergeron and Marchand.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's them. Was Krejci.
Well, that's, I mean, Krejci kind of walked back to the team. I mean, he went back to the team that he started with. I can maybe see Rask doing that. I know that Finland's had a bit of a goalie carousel this year. Yeah, going back and finishing with Ilves over in Finland.
Yeah, I guess like minor news out of there for Krejci was that he kind of, I don't say silenced rumors about returning to Boston at any point, but at least this season kind of said like, hey, I'm here to do this thing here and I'm here for the whole season. I signed a contract and whatnot, even though the season ends before the Stanley Cup playoffs, but we'll find out.
But then he has to be on call in case they restart the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those jobs. I don't know. I've never been on call at work.
I don't think I have either.
I have. It's not super fun.
Yeah, it sounds like... So do you get paid for the time you're on call?
So it depends. I have not, I'm not a doctor, so no.
Well, we're not talking about dying,
but
I'm pretty sure you get paid for that.
Yeah, you definitely get paid for that. No, I've been on call where I had to, most notably, I don't remember. I think I came on the podcast after I did this. I I paced my friends for an overnight 32 kilometer race in the mountains.
I don't know what kilometers are.
It was like a little under a full marathon. So 25 miles, 24 miles, something like that.
Get the Canada measurements out of here.
Be nice. And I paced them for the last 14 kilometers, which was supposed to be 8.78 miles. Ended up being close to 16 or 17 kilometers, so like 10 or 11 miles at 3 o'clock in the morning. And one of them was supposed to work the next day from 12 to 4 and had run the whole thing. So I was put on call. I had to wake up at like essentially 9 o'clock and sit there until I got confirmation that he had dragged his carcass into work and like was not going to die. And then once I got the all clear that I didn't have to go in, I was off for the rest of the day, but I've had to sort of be on standby. And it's not super fun because you can't commit to anything, but it's also kind of fun because you don't have to work during that time. So you can sit there and, I don't know, be a vegetable. That's what I did.
By the way, the conversion is 1.6 kilometers to a mile.
And
thank you, Drew.
I 100% know what the conversion is.
No, I feel like it's been a slow week. It's been kind of, other than the women's worlds, that's been exciting and kind of fun. I don't know if you guys have been watching any of that.
No, that's
following along.
Yeah, I mean, I've followed it. I just haven't. I don't want to say I haven't had time for it because that's disingenuous. I've had plenty of time for it. It's just more like the time that the games are on is weird with like what I want to be doing. And like my parents occupy the TVs for most of the day. So
he who has watched 32 movies in August.
32, very, very light estimate there. I think I'm at 36 now.
I thought we got that count like 2 days ago. It's the 25th.
Yeah, we're having a solid two movie per day.
Big month. No, Drew, have you gotten to watch any of the women's worlds? Any of the highlights?
I have not, no.
Oof, not even the highlights. There have been some really good things, like some really good highlights. Goals. I've watched the highlights at least. Just Hillary sure Knight people, is now.
People know that I'm a better person than Drew.
Yeah, I catch what I like on Twitter. Sports other than like the Bruins, all the sports knowledge I have is just like, oh, there's this football highlight on Twitter, yay. So
good story, Drew,
thank you. That's getting cut. Oh. Yes, I have been watching very
now. Hillary Knight has now recorded the most goals at the Women's World Championships in the history of the women's worlds, which is kind of cool. I believe she scored it against Russia, maybe, or I guess it's the...
It was definitely against Russia, or whatever they're calling Russia, because she scored the tying goal against Finland.
Yeah, and so she now has she's fourth in points all time behind Cammy Granato, Jana Hefford, and Haley Wickenheiser, who... Haley Wickenheiser has 86 points. Hillary Knight has 77. I don't know how she'll necessarily surpass that.
Wait around for the next one.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be a hard one to pass. But Brianna Decker has 65 points. She's fifth all time, right below Hillary Knight. And I believe she assisted the goal, which makes her the all time U.S. assist leader, which I think gets a little more specific in the records, which is still nice, but Hillary Knight being like the all-time scorer is kind of cool because she's, I would argue, the biggest name, at least in U.S. women's hockey. She's probably the biggest household name, so I think that's kind of cool.
She's still pretty young, isn't she?
I feel like we say that, but I think she's around our age, if not a little older. So she's okay, well, I'm pretty sure she's in our 30s.
Oh, if she's around my age, she's pretty young then.
She's got plenty of time left.
Yeah, and that's always kind of tough in women's sports, just because there are some women who can play sports until they're into their 40s, and some the wear and tear just kind of, you hit your peak a little younger than some of the men do, and you start to drop off a little earlier. I'd say she probably sells another couple worlds in her. I don't know if she has 9 more points at the worlds in her, but I'd be delighted if she proved me wrong to become the all-time points leader. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Be sweet. I'd be down for that.
That fell real flat.
You're not going to find any resistance.
USA.
What were you were you looking for us to be like, no? I think she shouldn't.
It's kind of frustrating watching the women's world at this time of year, because this is kind of like that dead zone where there's not a whole lot. I guess there's preseason football.
Yeah, don't watch preseason football, please.
No, I don't. What else is there right now? Baseball?
Baseball,
I guess.
I went to the Sox Drew was at the game last night.
Drew was a really interesting game to go to, where he got the whole experience of being a Boston Red Sox fan in 2021, where
roller coaster.
Really got to see the bullpen show its true colors.
Mm-hmm. And the starter too, very, I think he came in with like a 46 ERA. Because math, he's had like 3 starts, gave up however many runs, and kept getting pulled early. That it averaged.
I didn't
out.
Even see who the starter was. What?
I don't even know his name still.
Yikes!
But yeah,
I can't mock 46 that. ERA. I can't even laugh at that, because I know I was sitting there last night.
Yeah, what would your ERA be, Kat?
Well, no, my hometown team is the Baltimore Orioles. Since I am from Towson, Maryland, and they are now, it's hard to say that the Baltimore, like, it's hard to argue that the Baltimore Orioles are like one of the most tragic baseball teams over the last, what, 5 to 10, 20, 30 years. I don't know. They're bad. And this year they're bad even by their standards. So I think they've lost something like 20, I don't know how many games in a row now.
I think they're
the worst team in
19 or 20.
19 or 20 at this point.
Depending on tonight.
Which is horrific. So my roommate like delightedly came home and was like, hey, did you know that the Baltimore Orioles are even worse than the Diamondbacks? I was like, I could have told you that. They're always bad. Mm-hmm. There's no part of me that cares about the Baltimore Orioles, because they make it very hard to care about them. So
that's probably a good thing. Drew, the starter was Tanner Houck, and he's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. There's this whole point where I was like I was sitting with my dad at the game. I was like, oh, Houck, because it's H-O-U-C-K.
So yeah, it's a tough name. He's pretty good.
It was funny when I was drunk.
He's a 3.43 ERA, so he's not as hapless as maybe you thought.
I don't know. I just heard he had a 46 or something. Maybe it was like 4.6. It was probably 4.6. Whoever told me probably didn't see the decimal point.
Be pretty. I don't know how much he's pitched this year, but
he was 0-3. I know he was 0-3 going in, but okay. That doesn't tell you how many games he pitched.
Yeah, well, he had 3 earned runs and 4.2 innings pitched, and he still has a 3.43 ERA. So I don't think he had a bad ERA before that.
Maybe at a 4.6.
No, because that would be
6. I don't know. Look, I don't know how it works. This is why I am a journalist. I get paid to ask
you mean
the experts the questions. What?
I said, do you mean you don't know how ERA works or how math works? Because I can't figure it out here.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. That's good. That's real good.
Except I know that 1.6 kilometers is a mile.
Do you know how many centimeters are in an inch?
No.
Isn't
it like 2 or 3?
It's 2.54.
Oh, I was technically correct.
Close to pi, which is 3.4.
You averaged my answers. I was correct.
I don't know what I was saying.
Not a lot.
I don't know his first name, but Gordon's his last name, number 1 on the Twins. It was like the first inning, and he was
Nick
like
Gordon. He's a D Gordon's Gordon, little yeah. brother.
Yeah. He was like kind of looking up into the crowd, and we were right by, like, we were fourth row and then one section over from the dugout, so you can kind of see in there. He looked over, and I just, like, for some reason I was like what's up, bro, with a little nod, and he nodded back, and I was like, oh my god, he's my favorite player now, he knows who I am.
What are we looking at, Kat?
Cam is at a baseball game right now, by the way. He's at the Baltimore Orioles
game. At the Orioles game.
Yeah, he's at the Orioles game. Speak of the devil. Because I very graciously showed him that I'm him today, and he showed me that he is at the Orioles. So it's all coming full circle.
Oh, you really did get me like mid opening beer. I did. This picture.
I haven't seen said image, but that's okay.
I'm sorry. I sent it to Cam, and then figured I'd send it to Chris so that
I knew
Cam didn't. So that Cam didn't gloat to Chris that he got something that Chris didn't.
That wouldn't know. Be it.
That's not a thing, Chris. That's not a thing Cam ever does.
Cam just gets really offended when you don't say hi to him. So.
Yeah, which was Drew. I don't know if they told you how sad Cam got.
It's very. Very sad, very petty.
Very, very petty. He arrived to the lake with Chris a day before Jess Belmosto did. And so I said hi to him when he arrived, sent him like a text, said, hey, talked to him a little bit. I think he and Lancey arrived a day ahead of time. And then the next day Jess arrived. And so I said specifically to Chris, oh, say hi to Jess. And I guess Cam got really upset that I said hi to Jess and not to him, even though he has my number and I'd said hi to him literally the day before. And
like actually upset, or was he faking?
He wouldn't talk to me for the entire day.
So I think this requires a little backstory too, because the way that I framed it was Kat says hi just to you, Jess, nobody else.
Well, now I know. All that I said was hi, Jess. Didn't intentionally leave Lancey and Cam
I didn't know that you had been texting Cam on the side saying hi.
Even though he's
every morning I send a text to Cam,
except for that day.
You just have to tame his ego.
Jesus. He waited until it had to have been like 10 p.m. my time. So very, very late where you guys were. And then finally sent me a text with a picture of the back porch at the lake and said, gonna go chat with Chris. Have any questions? I was like, hello, Cam. I was like, I don't know what that means. Yeah,
that's when I got ambushed.
Like, I don't know what that means.
I got a very serious talking to at that point.
About what?
I'm so glad I was there for it.
Were you there for that?
No, I wasn't.
No.
I didn't go. No.
No, Drew had
Which is good that I didn't, because it was kind of like rough with my work schedule, but then there was this whole COVID scare, which I didn't wind up having COVID, and none of my family members did either.
Yeah, that's good news.
Thank God.
Well, that's good. That's very good news.
That Monday that you guys were there was a big oof for
me. Yeah, I mean, also kind of a good thing that you weren't planning on coming, because that would have probably just like fucked with the
whole thing. I literally would have had to turn around on the road. Like, I would have been driving at the point that we learned. So
that would have been even more disappointing.
Yeah. I could get there and just look through my car window like, hello. I'll just stay in there. I'll like sleep there.
Stay in the car like the boy in the bubble. Yeah.
Bubble boy. Yeah.
We'll toss you beers from a safe distance away.
We got 1 minute and 12 seconds.
Yeah, I figure now's a good time, as good a time as any to shut it down.
This has been super enlightening. I'm really
glad. We really didn't. I think people enjoy listening to this. Sure. The people listen to this podcast, I'm so grateful for them. But also, like, what are you doing?
I listen to this podcast.
Like, okay, so I'm talking to you now. What are you doing? You listen to my other podcast too. That's even worse.
Okay. Just trying to be supportive here. Genuinely,
sincerely, thank you to people who are listening. This is the off season. It's really wild that like there's nothing going on. We're just
our numbers are still good.
Yeah, like, numbers are great.
People are sticking around for the off season.
Thank you. Like we're still getting paid by DraftKings. Shouts to them. Just wild times. I'm sorry I insulted people who are listening.